Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Will.
How are you?
I'm so amped.
I am too. This is kind of crazy.
Oh, this has been unreal. To get to this place where we're at in our podcast, I Hear Voices, now brought to you by iHeartRadio.
Isn't that amazing that we are part of the iHeart team, which is a pretty, I have to say, I don't normally like to pat on the back, but it's a pretty awesome team to be involved with, isn't it?
I'm crushing really hard on them. And obviously your other podcast is killing it,
yeah.
You know, and I'm happy to be a part of that family now.
I am too. And if by other podcast you're talking about Pod Meets World, check that out. It's another great podcast,
yep.
But no, selfless plug. One thing we did want to talk about with our I Hear Voices family out there, and it's so unbelievably exciting. But it's going to be a little different for the next, say, 4 or 5 episodes. You know that we bring in our special guests, which of course we're still going to do because we love learning about voiceover and the voiceover world. But then we used to bring in, it started with amateur artists sending us their art, and then we put some fun voices to the artwork. And then it went from there, it grew to Across the Garden, which we did every week, where Christy and I played the little mice getting across the garden, and an amateur actor got to come in and join us to actually do his own or her own recording session, which was a ton of fun. We had a blast. But iHeart has been able to make our ultimate dream come true, which we've now been able to talk about a little bit, where we are gearing up as we speak for... Dun da da da. I'm sorry. Should I not have done the dun da da da?
I feel no, like I can do it with you if you want.
You
want
to do it? Ready? Ready?
Ready?
One, yeah. Two, three.
Dun da da da
da
da da.
Wow. Wow. We're never actually in sync is the problem. But we are announcing our official title of the super awesome contest to become the next big voiceover actor. And
wait,
you've got to
so
say that
title,
five
Will?
Times fast. That's the
wait,
title.
Is that the title?
That's the joyous title. The super awesome contest to become the next big voiceover actor. And first of all,
wait,
if you
we
can't
should do
say
that in
the title,
a booming
you can't
voice.
Do it. Should
exactly.
we? Like announcer voice?
Yeah.
Ready? Do you want to?
You
ready?
Do it. Yeah.
You want me to do it? No, you do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I always
yeah.
do booming
okay.
voice. You do
but
booming
I,
voice.
But I don't
Go
know
ahead.
It. You wrote it down, literally. Super amazing contest to find.
Do
wait,
you really not
super
know the title
amazing.
Of our own contest? Because that's pretty sad. You wouldn't. I was just about to say, if you can't say the title, you probably won't be the next big voiceover actor. And you literally can't say the title, which is pretty funny.
Stop it. Super amazing contest to
nope,
become.
Nope, already
the
got
next...
it wrong. Super awesome. Super awesome
okay.
contest.
Super awesome contest to become the next big voiceover actor. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
I
love
it.
The dramatic pauses that you took, by the way.
Because the stakes are high, people. This is an amazing contest with amazing, amazing rewards, I guess. Is
yes.
what you want to call them?
Yeah, prizes, rewards, whatever.
Prizes.
I mean, if you want to call the possibility of a professional voiceover career a prize,
Yeah, dude,
that's not literally
even
what we're offering. That's what you win. We have so many prizes. We're not allowed to talk about a lot of them because, as you have to imagine, we're going nationwide. So because we're going nationwide with the power of iHeart behind us, there's, you know, we're not going to lie to you, there's a lot of legal stuff that has to be worked out. This is where all the lawyers get involved, and we're making a full contest. Like, we're making a full Idol-style, voice-style contest. And some of the things we can talk about because we have is we're not allowed to say exactly what yet because we're working out all the details, but you win a one-year contract with one of the biggest voiceover agencies in the world, literally
in the
world.
I mean, it's your first big break, right?
Yeah.
I would say.
We give you the opportunity. We can open the door for you. You then have to run inside, but we can crack the door, which is often one of the most difficult things in this industry to do, is actually getting an agent. So we're going to take care of that for you.
We get to meet them, right?
Yeah, they're coming to lunch with us because we'll have lunch with them and their new voiceover agent. So that's going to be the lunch is on you, by the way, when the check comes.
Yeah.
The winner
Me?
Will have to pick up the tab. No, you'll be fine.
Good.
And by the way, Christy, I'm joking about you picking up the tab, by the way. Hey, Christy, just real quick, what was the name of our contest again?
Super Awesome Contest to become the next big voiceover actor.
Wow. I also love the way you're saying it. In the voiceover world, that would be called we need another take of that, but it's pretty genius the way that it happened. So bear with us as we're working out all the details of the contest because we are so excited about this. It's going to be an amazing amount of fun. We're going to be doing it, you know, not to give too much away, but we're going to be doing it like March Madness style. We're going actor against actor. We're going to weed it down and we are going to find the next big voiceover talent in the country. And we will come at you with all of the necessary stuff you're going to need to enter. It's going to be free to enter for everybody over the age of 18. And of course, we'll let you know what the rules are, when you're entering, where you're going to enter. All that stuff will be coming in like the next month. So as we're holding off on that, as we're working on that, getting, you know, month and a half, by the way, I want to make sure I'm getting that right. But as we're getting all of that set up to make sure that it is a completely seamless process so that you can go and win a career, we want to make sure that we are focused on that. And while we're doing that, we still want to be able to meet these awesome voiceover actors and talk to these awesome voiceover actors, how they got into the business. Meanwhile, giving the amateur actors that we normally bring on a show a break to study up because, it's about to get real up in
Ivory. You remember the last episode, I suggested to people, somebody had asked us, was that at the Comic-Con? Because, you know, we do these really awesome live shows now.
Yeah, that was at the con.
Fan Expo. Yeah. And at the con, somebody asked us, you know, how do you prepare for something like this? And I suggested to deep dive into all of our interviews thus far because there are some really good tidbits of information.
I think
the Andrea Romano episode in particular is probably a good one to start with.
I would say our first episode too, the Bowser episode where he actually walked us through how he created a character, like how he got to the voice. Like he was like manipulating his instrument. You could see how he was working the throat and all. It was so, yeah. And then another great thing we talked about at the Fan Expo was improv classes. Because improv classes are phenomenal to just get the acting chops up, get your speed working on it, your timing. You can workshop characters. It's another great kind of, and you can find those usually in any city around the world. They have improv classes, which is really cool.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I'm really excited about our guest today.
I am too. I am not only excited about our guest, but I'm excited about the show that they're here to plug because there's some cool stuff happening.
Well, we recently like had the show's creator on, Dan Povenmire.
Yeah.
And Dan actually, it hadn't premiered yet. So Brock Powell is our amazing guest today.
Woohoo!
And they just recently announced.
Hey!
Hey, how are you?
Brock is here.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm so good. I'm so excited to be here. This is like crazy wild.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is really cool.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm really, I mean, I feel like talking about, you know, being on a Disney show with Disney royalty is like not something you get to do every day, right?
Wow, well, are we Disney royalty? Are. That's so awesome.
Yeah, there's Disney Legend and then there's Disney royalty, which you get parking benefits.
Wait, are you serious? Is that true?
No, that's all a lie. That's completely
Brock,
lie.
Brock, okay. Welcome
You're
to
just being nice.
Christy Land. We've been so one thing that we love about Christy is like my sister, and she is the most gullible human being on the planet. It's so
I see the good in people. What can I say?
Just trusting. Well, that's probably what makes you a really good performer and also an interviewer. My fiance is the same way. Like, I have to actually, like, I'm joking. Like, right after.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. It was fun because the first time we talked about it, I said, well, you know, the reason you're so gullible is because it's a genetic trait. And she's like, really?
Oh, my gosh.
He's such a jerk. And, you know, I should spell
that's
that
a genetic trait, too, Christy, being a jerk.
That
genetic
is true. Trait. Yeah.
I actually kind of do believe that, though. See, I can trace that one.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Brock, we were just talking about how you, your creator, Hamster and Gretel's creator, Dan Povenmire, was just on our show. Yeah.
Oh.
And you... Yes, he was. We got him to come on, and it was really fun to talk to him.
Yeah, I thought he was going on a different show, and it was halfway through. He was like, oh, and we were like, no, you're fine.
I reconnected with Dan on TikTok, and he kills in TikTok world.
It's the easiest way to get a hold of him. Like, if I have questions about scripts and stuff, I just go, hey, Dan, I got a question about this, so, and I just TikTok it.
You have to do TikTok to get.
That works. He loves it.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Do you remember showed us the napkin that Phineas was on?
That was like the creation. It was like where it all started on a napkin. Whereas most things do, by the way. Like my favorite fantasy series of all time, the entire map was drawn on a napkin in the middle of a restaurant. So like,
wait, what's your favorite series?
My favorite series of all time, it's called the Belgariad and the Malorian series by by David Eddings. It's the one that got me into fantasy as a kid.
Oh my god.
So that's like my jam. So that
I'm writing this down.
You should. Oh, I'll give you a whole list. You have no idea.
I'm so excited.
I'm a fantasy nerd. But can we also talk very quickly about how Hamster and Gretel might be one of the greatest named animated shows ever.
I thought so.
It's pretty great. I mean, Dan definitely has an ability, along with his creative partner on Phineas Swampy, to come up with really great names. So we had Phineas and Ferb. Then we had Milo Murphy's Law, which was the show in between Phineas and the one we're on now.
Yeah.
I don't know how they, if they sit in a room or they have a robot they designed or like a Doofenshmirtz-inator to come up with the names, but Hamster and Gretel is definitely, and it's funny too, because a lot of people go like, sorry, Hamster and Gretel. And it causes people to pause because I think it is such a great name. Like,
it's
okay,
great.
I just have to check it out. Just based on the name, you're like, I have to watch
it's
that.
True.
It is. Yeah. It's a phenomenal name. I also, we haven't really brought this up yet. I'm going to throw this at you the first time, but I think we should start a contest where our guest gets to pick what's actually behind Christy on the green screen.
Oh, I like that. Can we
That's
actually
a great
do that?
Idea.
I so think.
Something get inserted? Like, there's an image that'll go back behind the green screen there?
Yeah, you can, I think you could do. She's in front of a green screen because she normally likes to just do it in front of a giant picture
Animate
of me, just
me.
My old headshot.
Animate.
So what do you think, Brock, what do you think should be behind Christy at the end of the day?
I feel like a napkin. I feel like it should just be a, like,
oh,
a,
yes.
Right?
Maybe a hand-drawn Kim Possible on like
yes,
a napkin.
Yes, on the napkin. Yeah.
I love it.
I like that.
I love that.
That's
we actually,
awesome.
We also saw Steven Silver when we were at Comic-Con, but he created Kim Possible. But we missed you, and we missed
yes,
my friend
you were
Allison
at Comic-Con,
Starr.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were there. The entire cast, or a large portion of the cast, was there. We did an amazing panel. It was really, really cool because this is the first time, you know, we've been going through sort of, you know, the animation pandemic, the panimation as well. And so we all met there, really, for the most part. Like at Comic-Con, which is a really, it basically was like Camp Comic-Con and we were all hanging out. And it's really cool to fall in love with your entire cast and realize, like, oh, you're all amazing people. Like everybody, we're literally like, we're planning a Disney trip right now. There's a whole bunch
that's
of like,
awesome.
It's cool.
That's
it's
amazing.
And that doesn't happen with everything, right? That doesn't happen with every show.
Now, I have a question for you because one of the things we love about I Hear Voices is we try to like pull the curtain on all of
yeah.
the animation world. And a lot of people don't really understand how long the process really takes. So we're now hearing about Hamster and Gretel. When's
right.
the first time you heard the names Hamster and Gretel?
That's a really great question. I actually might have to look at this. I want to say maybe 2019, like the first time I heard something regarding Hamster and Gretel might have been late 2019, because I know 2020 was when the show got greenlit. So that probably would track. Because we wrapped Candace Against the Universe, which was the Phineas and Ferb sort of DCOM Disney Plus
yeah.
movie that we did, which was really, really cool because being a part of a Disney Channel original movie is like, you know, kid of the 90s dream. I didn't get to do the wand thing. I didn't get to do the wand. But
I've never done the wand either. Don't get me started.
Can we do the wand?
Do you want to do the wand? Everybody do the
yeah,
wand.
You
right.
guys can do the wand.
You've
dun,
done
dun,
the wand,
dun,
haven't
dun,
you, Christy?
Dun.
You've
have,
done the wand,
I was
Christy.
Right in the middle.
Oh, my
you
God.
Were before. Brock is after. I got in there.
That's all right,
I got
Brock.
In there, guys. But I don't
well,
have any outtakes online.
Oh, you don't? My co-star,
I got in one.
Allison Schoner, who plays my supervillain sibling, obviously got to do that a lot. And she just posted a video of her recreating it at Disneyland, which if people want to check that out, I think that's on her Instagram. It's
I
hilarious.
I love her. Can I just tell you guys, I just want to do a little moment for Allison Schoner appreciation.
Absolutely.
She went on this other podcast I have, Vulnerable, and she was exactly that for me. And I just love her so much that she popped up with you in those pictures at Comic-Con, and I was just so ecstatic for her. I didn't know about, you know, I didn't know about it. Dan had recently been on our show, but hadn't mentioned her casting. So
that's
it's
so
just
funny.
So great to see you guys together. And that's great that you guys got to meet and connect in that way. Because she's a really good person.
Supreme. And what's crazy is, so a little behind the scenes to your point, Will, which, so again, child of the 90s, do most people accidentally call you Eric? Because I'm really having a hard time not doing
it. I can't.
I call him Ron.
She does, yeah. I'll answer to most things. But yes, I will occasionally get an Eric and I'll just go, yeah. See, nobody pronounces Fridell right anyway. So I just.
Oh, there you go.
When somebody throws a sound my way, I just go, yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just easier.
Yeah. I'm in the single syllable range too. So most things, I'm just like, ah, is that my name? Who's saying that?
There you go. Mr. Squirrels.
Well, so,
call me
yeah,
Mr. Squirrels.
And speaking of like syllables and sounds, I know on your bio it said that you sometimes specialize in like creature sounds.
Yeah. So I do a lot of monster creature sounds. On Milo Murphy's Law, I was a ton of aliens. I did a bunch of aliens in Candace Against the Universe. And then weirdly on Hamster, I'm mostly getting to do human villains. I've got a couple other like specialty characters that are going to be coming up in episodes. Because five episodes are out right now on Disney Plus. And like my main character is Lyle Fistpuncher, but the team's been amazingly kind and generous. And I think right now I'm at maybe 10 different villains on the series throughout everything we've recorded. So it's really, really cool. I don't know.
How do you differentiate? is that how?
I think it's just the picture and the physicality. And you know, you're talking about Allison Stoner. So the character that I do, Fistpuncher, is a twin that's younger by 3 minutes to Allison's character. And I believe Allison tracked her portion first. And so that made it easier for me because I was like, well, if they're twins, they probably would have some sort of similar vocal kind of tone. And music. So we sort of are doing this like valley sibling thing. So mine is sort of like Lyle kind of very much like he's got a down here voice, but he also goes up here when he's talking to his big sister, like because he's genuinely kind of concerned. And it kind of has that too many vowels, Pauly Shore, Biff Tannen sort of thing. But Allison came first. Her voice came first. I heard it in playback. And then that was kind of how we created it. And then for other
sort
stuff,
of matched, you pretty sort much matched the tone.
Did it?
And
did her voice come first by 3 minutes? Because if it did, that would be pretty. Yeah, that would be the coolest thing in the world.
Disney's very efficient with the recording timing. So
I'd also like to point out that Christy actually managed to pull off the line. Speaking of sounds.
I'm a segue master.
You are. You segued. That was genius. Like
also,
speaking sounds and syllables, as no one has ever said.
Segue master might be a Hamster and Gretel villain. I think we should pitch that out.
I love that. Okay, so question then: you've got a character in front of you. You know it's not going to have a lot of dialogue. It's just going to be an alien sound.
Yeah.
Where do you go? I mean, like, are you in your throat? Are you in your nose?
Yeah,
are you
feel
in
free
your
to
chest?
Do the sounds.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Where do you go to find just a sound like that?
Yeah, I'll show you. There are a couple different ones. If it's on Disney Plus, so if people go and watch Milo Murphy's Law, which the entire series is there, you can hear me voicing aliens from the pilot episode all the way to the end.
Okay.
And there's like 20 different aliens. Some of them speak language, some of them don't. So usually an alien, it depends if they're cute or evil. So if it's kind of like the friendly ET kind of thing without language, it'll probably sound like this. That kind of stitch placement. So then you're doing the articulators there. Then if it's like a scary, like District 9 kind of buggy alien, it might be more like that kind of thing. So it depends on the size. I always start with how big is the character. And, then I actually have a technique I call the monster mash, which is how I teach myself to do creature voices.
Oh, so, please give us the monster mash. If you don't mind sharing the monster mash, we're going to need to know what that is.
Care if I hear
this
voice.
Is Brock Powell's monster mash.
The mouth, what does the mouth look like? Does the monster or alien have a mouth? If it's like a gelatinous kind of, like you have to figure that out, right? Because aliens may not look like us. Then the monster or alien is the attitude. Is it angry? Is it hungry? And it's always important to connect the creature with the human or those primal emotions that we all experience, wanting shelter, companionship. And then the size, how big is the actual character? And is it like small dog syndrome where it's like a tiny gremlin, but it makes it meaner? And then how scary is it, the H? So if you're doing something for like, I work on a lot of the Disney Junior stuff, doing monsters and creatures for Mickey Mouse Funhouse. And obviously a dinosaur on that show would be very different than something that we would do on like Hamster.
You're not going to want to scare little
kids. You're
not going
to traumatize my kids.
Right.
So, okay. So you've got the monster mashup, which I think is amazing. First of all, from an acting standpoint.
That's so cool, man.
I think it's kind of amazing that you're putting that. And again, this to all the people out there that want to do this for a living. Brock is looking at a character that has no dialogue, that might be in the background, that isn't featured, and is putting a backstory to it. Like, well, is it hungry? Does it need companionship? Mm-hmm. This is what differentiates somebody who is really good at this, has the talent, and is going to have a long career, and somebody who's like, oh, you kind of do voices. So if you're wondering what the difference is, that's one of the differences, is putting that amount of effort into what is considered, oh, it's just a small part. For an actor, there's no such thing. So, but it's true. It's like, you've got to, Brock is putting all, I look at the picture and you put the, like, does they want companionship? That's what differentiates the talent from the not talent.
I really appreciate that.
Hashtag
not talent. But there, I think there also is too, like, if I'm not paying attention to how I'm sounding, I'm doing something right. So the more you do with your body and the more you're in the moment, the less you're aware at how, and especially for creature voices, absolutely vile you look. Like, I will leave slobber covered, and it's to make the sound, you have to sort of like change your, change your face shape. And I was lucky because I grew up as a benefactor of like Frank Welker's work.
Yep.
Right. And
D. Bradley Baker.
I was going to just mention D. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is. It's one of those things where one of the first times I was ever in a booth with Frank, I think it might have been he was doing the sounds for, he was dubbing over Ace the Bat Hound in Batman Beyond, I think.
My childhood.
So we're sitting there and I'm got my Terry McGinnis voice and I'm just, and they're like, all right, do Ace. And he starts barking like, we need a different dog too. Can you make it smaller? And so he does a smaller dog. And then they're like, no, one paw is injured. And he does starts making, and you're going, that's a small dog with an injured paw. Like, how is this? How are you even contemplating doing these things?
He's on another level. Frank is just, I think, an expert of, cause speaking of dog sounds, he was Cujo.
Yeah.
He was Marahute the eagle in Rescuers Down Under, which is like one of my favorites. Like, the dude is from another planet.
It's insane.
He's an animorph.
It's insane. And when we're doing Transformers, I'm sitting in between him and, just the whole original, like most of the original Gen 1 cast.
Oh, my God.
It's like, I can't believe this is all happening right now. You got Peter Cullen on one side. And I'm just like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. There were grown men that we were in our 40s trying not to cry. So the first time Peter Cullen looks at you and goes, Bumblebee. And I was like,
you're like,
he's talking to me. I have to answer him. He's talking to me. It was insane. So it's that same thing with D, because that's a whole nother side of this industry that a lot of people don't necessarily talk about, is creature sounds.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can't do it's those. I consider myself a pretty it's good vital. Voiceover actor. I can't do that at all. It's a whole different skill set that either you can do or you can't.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Growing up, did you have one thing that you love? I mean, did you start doing funny creature sounds, or did you do more of kind of the animated voices?
Yeah, I did a lot of the cartoon voices and stuff. That was sort of how I made friends. And I was definitely a latchkey kid. And
me too.
Both my parents worked. And so I basically was raised on the Disney afternoon. So when I got out of college and was like trying to figure out what I wanted to do with this theater degree, which is such an ominous, like, or just a, but I don't know what it is. What it does, I wrote a letter to Bill Farmer, who voices Goofy for Disney, and he was my first mentor and kind of showed me the ropes of how classic acting and the impressions needed to be merged, so that, like, I'm approaching, like you mentioned, I'm approaching every scene with, like, it might be a talking ham sandwich or Snagglepuss, but they still have, what does the character want? What's the best case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? And I think often, and where I was 15 years ago, you're doing impressions that are only the things the character has said before. But even just a little scene that we were playing earlier that might have been excised at this point, being able to pivot in the character and put them in circumstances they've never been in, I think that's really the test of it, is if you can. Bob Bergen, who voices Porky Pig, says, if you can do a Looney Tunes character doing Shakespeare, you know that you've got sort of a fleshed out, more than two-dimensional character, because you're putting them into circumstances. And that was something that I learned really early on. But I still play with voices. I do a ton of sound alike. I do a lot of, like, impressions now professionally. I'll come in and sort of be like the vocal stunt double for celebrities, which is really, really fun.
Ooh, who's your
okay,
favorite?
Okay, so you know
celebrity.
Where we're going. Yeah, you know the next questions we've got. If you're bringing up who, so, I mean, Who do you do? If it's like, well, we can't get X, Y, and Z, go get Brock. Who are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm wearing this ironically right now. I have done Robert Downey Jr. for stuff. Some things that I can't really go into that. But I got to say, there were some things that I did. You know, here's the deal. First of all, we have a Hulk. I know him. He's Fred Tatasciore, great guy. So I've done a lot of that. I also have done sound alike for, like, some classic characters for Disney and Sony, which I can't talk about those just yet, because some of those projects haven't been released.
Fair enough.
I love that, though.
Isn't that fun? I know. And then I also did, I got to do, I'm a huge Ghostbuster fan, and I got to work with the Ghost Corps team, and I did sound alike for Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd for a Ghostbusters project it's like a kind of like an activation, which was really crazy. That was really fun.
I got to hear your Bill Murray, Brock. Sorry.
Oh, God. Well, so, you know, it's funny because Bill Murray and Robert Downey Jr. are actually not too far apart. But, like a specific, can I curse on this show? Because the quote has a naughty word.
Yeah, you can, but we'll bleep your curse.
Okay. It's also in Ghostbusters. So
you're fine.
Haven't seen it. So there you go. But we came, we saw, we kicked its ass. So that kind of, you know, that sort of thing.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's a lot of that, you know, kind of what he does in Caddyshack. Like, well, you know, I'm going to get total enlightenment, so I got that going for me. You know, it's a lot of that point, right?
He said there'll be no money.
Yeah.
You shall receive total enlightenment. Yes, that's my other podcast. I just sit around and quote movies. That's like my brothers and I. That's all we do.
Can
I'm kidding. I have
just
no idea.
Join the Bill Murray.
Oh, no, it's fine. We're movie quote people. I actually have a bathroom in my house where there's just pens. And so when you walk in and you just write your favorite movie quotes up on the wall.
Oh, my
so
God.
So the walls are just covered with movie quotes everywhere.
If I ever use your bathroom, I'm going to write Gullible on the ceiling, Will.
I think, really, we'll be able to notice it because it'll be the only one on the ceiling, which will be great. Nice. Thank you. Christy's already talking about ruining my bathroom. I love it.
I am. I'm going to deface your otherwise very autographs.
So, okay. We like to ask certain questions. First of all, do you remember the first voice you ever did?
I want to say it was either Gollum.
Oh.
That was popular when I was in middle school. And then Christian Bale's Batman was really big. And those were like, I often say, like, the lunch table in high school was where I socialized a lot of my.
Okay. That, is that where you workshopped everything?
Yeah, because you're making everybody laugh, and so you're jumping from these different, you know, impressions and stuff.
And were you just doing Christian Bale at the, you know, like, it's footlong hot dog day, like that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you'd be like, it's not who has the tater tots that matters. It's what they dip them in. So, yeah, which is such a great... He gets so much flack for that, but that vocal performance is the most insane choice, and I love it.
Well, it's the same. It's how I look at, like, you know, the Lex Luthor in Superman movie, in the new Superman movies.
Oh,
where
yeah.
It was like, if you're going to hit the wall anyway, run into it full speed.
Just go nuts.
Swing for the fences. It's either going to work or it's not, but nobody can't say you didn't swing for the fences. And that was Christian Bale. It was that, yeah, that kind of. But now I just want to see you doing that voice ordering lunch in, like, middle school. I think that would be the greatest thing.
Oh, I know the next question you're going to ask him. I know it. Can I ask it?
Then you ask it.
Okay. We're getting to that place now where we really truly are like family, where I can completely.
I'm just going to, even if it wasn't the question, I'm going to be like, you got
it. That was it. Yes.
You better. Okay. So is there any character or voice that you would want to do?
You got it.
Right? I got it.
Actually, you did. That was it. Of course, that's the next one. Because, yeah, you get to pick. Who do you want to be?
I mean, that's such a tough question because, I mean, you both know we're such a tight-knit community that you never want to say, like, in bad faith or...
I want to take your job.
You're like, I'm going to come for your job.
But, Ron Stoppable. Okay, and thanks, Brock. Thanks for coming on the show.
This character, like, Jerry McGinnis. Anyhow, it's not a big deal. No, I would say my go-to answer and the one that really started me on the journey was the first character I became aware of, like, from youth and who the actor was. I have a lot of respect for the work of Jim Cummings. And I would say that if there was ever an opportunity to protege or learn from or continue a character, Pooh Bear would probably be the one.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I love Pooh Bear.
And I've learned by watching, and I think that's one of the things I would encourage people. And also to say, you know, I'm about to do the impression. Just remember that when you do these things, it's about a community of respect and admiration. And I'm never learning these things or putting these tricks in the quiver to take an opportunity away from someone or undercut somebody. This is all about, you know, someday these characters hopefully are going to outlive all of us. I hope that someday in 80 years, Fist Puncher 3 is being voiced by someone who's like, oh, the original actor was named Brock. And, you know, with all that said, there's something very fun about having a rumbly in my tumbly. And being able to kind of hear the original Sterling Holloway, who was the original actor, and then how Jim has sort of made it his own role and kind of going through like, okay, kind of like, again, I'm really nerdy about this stuff. So, like, the original guy just sounded that way. So you had a guy who kind of – he was also the Cheshire Cat on the Disney movies. He was the Stork in Dumbo. Sterling would just come in and do all this stuff. Lambert the Lion, if you like those.
I love Lambert.
He narrates – that's Winnie the Pooh narrating that. Lambert the Lion. And he does that really soft kind of thing. And so when Jim took over the role, he kind of found a very particular placement for it. Because he was doing Tigger and Pooh, which means you have to have that locked.
Yeah, he went right to the hoo-hoo-hoo right after that. And it was crazy. Okay, interesting. So Pooh Bear. I have a difficult relationship with Winnie the Pooh. So,
really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah.
I have a difficult.
We don't speak about Pooh Bear.
It's okay. No, it's
we're fine. Don't talk about Pooh. No.
We're fine. We're good. No, when I was 19, I wrote the live action animation Winnie the Pooh movie for Disney, the one that just came out with Ewan McGregor a couple years ago. That's the thing. It sat on the shelf for years and years and years, and then it went through a whole bunch of other hands. And so when they finally put it out, it was totally different, and I got no credit. So I have a little bit of an issue with.
Are we cutting this out too?
Oh, I don't care. Oh, I don't care at all.
Wow.
So,
I've talked about it before. It was, so I wrote it 25 years ago or something. That was my first screenplay that I sold.
Because
I lived Winnie the Pooh. I lived Winnie the Pooh for a year when I was writing it.
Oh my God, Will, crazy.
Yeah, so Jim Cummings, I love Jim. I love Jim. Jim is one of the nicest people in the world. And by the way, you mentioned something that is super important, which is also something we're hoping to be able to have happen on I Hear Voices, is mentorship. Kevin Conroy was my mentor in the voiceover world. You talked about how Bill Farmer was your, who couldn't be a nicer man, by the way. You know, Jason Marsden, my best friend, was bad in a good movie. So I've known Bill for years, too. Couldn't be a nicer man. But you can't overstate the benefits of having a mentor who is, you know, wants to help guide you. And that's one of the things when we get to a certain level of the contest, which we've talked about on the show. I don't know if you're aware of the contest that we're going to be doing, Brock.
No, is this is this a thing?
This is really
a thing.
So.
I can tell you what it's called.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Christy. Can you? You just put yourself, you've forgotten what it's called already, don't you?
I forgot already.
Did
you? It was a half hour ago, but I forgot.
So we're going to find American Idol style, the next big voiceover actor, and we're going to have you back.
I would love to be there, yeah.
Because we're going to have judges and mentors and everything
else. I hope we get a creature-based person, but obviously you do everything.
Well, maybe one of the levels, one of the things we're going to have to figure out, because we're going to find the best, well-rounded actor out there, and maybe we're gonna have to have Brock come in, because one of the things we want to do when we get to the final four or so is we're gonna give them mentors. So everybody's gonna get a VO mentor. and
so
Brock,
cool.
We'd love to have you come and help us out, because we are gonna need the best to help find the best. So that's
I'm honored. Absolutely, we'll come back.
Oh, that's awesome. And Christy, can you tell us one more time what the name of the contest is, please?
The super amazing contest.
Nope.
To find the next best voice actor.
Nope.
Person.
Not correct.
No.
Not correct.
Oh.
Not correct.
It is the super awesome contest to become the next big voiceover actor. But we look. I love that.
What's the acronym for that? Have you come up with that?
Sactobatenebevoia.
I just think every time we edit it, it needs to be in like a booming voice, though. Please.
I think we'll
that
do that too. Yeah, we'll make sure that there's a boom behind
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
The super. Hey, can you do
us
a favor, Brock?
Yeah.
Could you say the super awesome contest to become the next big voiceover actor as an alien?
Sure.
Perfect. That was perfect.
I was going to give him crazy direction. I want to make it hard for him.
What's the crazy direction?
Right.
You want to make it harder than doing
the
creature voice?
Let's make the monster mash. Let's apply the monster mash.
Wow, Christy, yes.
Wow. Oh, I like it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, ready?
Describe the alien, Christy.
So the size is, it's the size of this right here. The palm of my hand.
A tennis ball. Tennis ball size.
Like a hail. Ball of hail. Okay. Tennis ball.
Okay. It's a furry... I'm actually going to have you voice what I did in a writing workshop, which I located as the picture of my inner critic. Okay.
Oh gosh.
So no pressure, but you're going to voice my inner critic.
I'm excited.
It is a fuzzy pink ball that has very cute eyes, but when it smiles, it has razor sharp teeth.
Love it.
Wow. Little insight into Christy we go there.
This is
like
amazing.
Little insight. There we go. Interesting. Okay.
Are we just rolling
around?
Right,
go ahead.
We're just rolling around. Right, so now it's.
This is awesome.
And it's crying tears of acid. Enjoy.
I like that.
What do you got, Brock?
I'm actually checking the line. I'm more worried about getting the name of the contest.
Yes.
Christy will help you. What is it, Christy?
Super awesome contest to find the next big voice over actor.
One more time.
No,
it's the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor.
Oh, to become. Okay, got it.
Woo! Okay.
You got it, Brock.
Here we go. With Christy's inner critic, a pink, fuzzy, cute-eyed, but big, sharp teeth when it's upset. So here we go. I actually will need a little water for this. And lesson one.
And Christy is doing the putting the razor sharp teeth in herself, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I can't wait to what people are going to do with the green screen behind you, Christy. You
so
might
excited.
Have opened up a whole can of worms with the green screen.
Here we go.
The super awesome contest to become the next big fourth upper.
Yes!
I really like my inner critic.
I do too. Your inner critic is great. The razor sharp teeth. That's awesome. Well, Brock.
You get in touch with my agent if we want to bring the character back. Let's do it.
No, I'm sorry. We should have also told you everything you say on the show is owned by us personally. So yeah. We've actually already sold the rights to that fuzzy critic.
Toys.
Wow.
The toys
new,
are already
new
being
media
made.
Rights. And, to buy out. You didn't
Chris
even
Pratt's
know
already
it.
In.
Dang. I was gonna say, like all things that happen in this industry, we are now looking for a Brock Powell type to voice it. That's just the way it always works out. We all know that.
I got replaced on a movie. I won't say what movie, but I got replaced on a movie for a large streaming service that I worked on for 2 years, and they got David Cross in to replace me, and I wasn't even mad. Like at that point, when you're like, okay, that's pretty good. And the coolest part was he kept my improv choices because there were things that were written and it wasn't all quite animated yet. So to hear somebody I really think of as a comedy icon.
Yeah, so do I.
Keeping my jokes. I'm like, okay, that's good. That's a win. That's a win.
Didn't you kind of wish it was still just you though?
Yeah, I mean, it was. You know, I've been replaced, and I think that's one of the things that I wish people knew is really becoming a common thing. Only because
it happens a lot.
It happens a lot.
Yep.
And I think being able to handle it with a certain level of grace and understanding. And this is Bill's advice that I will not take credit for, but he says, you got to remember you're a plumber and you're there to fix a problem. And, you know, you've got a toolkit, you've got the thing that you do. And at the end of the day, if something happens where they decide, hey, you know, actually we tried that. And there's 100 different things. And with vocal instruments, you have no idea who they're casting you against. You might sound exactly like two other people in the cast at the end of the day, we're there to serve the story. And if someone decides that your vocal performance isn't the best thing for the story, then that is an easier way. It does make it easier to lose it and hear someone else do it. But I think it does make it easier to go, well, I did my job. My job was to serve the story. And ultimately, I was sacrificed.
There's also a thing nowadays which is happening more and more. And this is one of the things I want I Hear Voices eventually to do. I have a goal to where all actors, even huge like The Rock and all these people, when they do when they do a voiceover film, when they do an animated film, and everybody should try it. It's so much fun. But you are huge actors, and you should insist that at least 50% of the cast is just voiceover actors. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. But that's one of those things is sometimes, especially nowadays, they just want a bigger name. So your performance is fine, but then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, but now we got David Cross. And that's nothing against you. And you're right. David Cross is a comedy. I mean, Mr. Show is one of my favorite things ever. But it's, you know, it does. It still stings. But you're right. It's more and more common, and it's happening a lot. People being
Have
replaced.
Have you been replaced, Will?
By an alien. Not on a, you know, this is no longer me. No, I think we've all been replaced. I don't even remember the show. Of course.
I know what show I was replaced on. And
what
it
were
was
you replaced
hurtful.
On?
Family Guy.
What?
Who were you on Family Guy?
I was Quagmire's one night stand, and I was replaced. And I, at the time, was in contact with Seth MacFarlane, and he didn't really tell me that I was replaced. And then finally, I found out that I was replaced, and I was like, that's not me. I was replaced. Okay, that's okay.
Wow.
And then I only had one line because he had me do two different voices, and there was another character that had like one line.
Oh my
I ended
God.
Up being the one line.
Oh, okay. So they gave you one thing. That's good. Yeah. No, again,
sure,
I think that's...
Sure, I got the credit.
I've been replaced. I've been replaced on stuff. It happens a lot. And there's
it
also
does.
Times where
and
it's like,
gotta...
that's why we talk about like Jason Marsden and Josh Keaton and I will never do a show called Jason, Josh, and Will because we all sound the same.
That's,
so it's
that's
like
funny. You guys do have similar instruments.
Right. So it's
you know who I was replaced by?
Who?
Nicole Sullivan. Nicole.
Really?
Well,
she go herself.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Brock.
Nicole and I did I don't even remember what it was for. We did a commercial together, like a voiceover commercial. And I didn't and I forget, like we were singing, it was some holiday thing. I can't even remember if it aired or what happened. But
We were singing.
And next to Nicole, they were like, hey, Brock, can you just like riff a little bit and do some ad libs? And I'm like, super aware that I'm wearing a Mad TV legend. I'm like,
yeah exactly.
Throw out a couple, you know, knock knocks.
That's Nicole, though. She's the best.
She's great. She's really cool.
All right, Brock.
Her.
So as a wrap up here, here's the thing. One piece of advice So you Bill Farmer's your mentor, so now you've got a mentee. What's the first piece of advice you would give that person?
Well, to segue and also truthfully, don't post about stuff as soon as it happens, because you start to get connected. Your brain will start to connect social media with dopamine. And I think it's important to know that the win isn't talking about the job, it's doing the job. And,
absolutely.
I also, like, to my mentee, I would say, don't worry about getting the blue ribbon at the bake sale. Come up with the best recipe you can for whatever it is you do, and hone that recipe. Because the people that you're admiring and want to be like have been doing this for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, we talked about Frank Welker, who's been voicing Fred on Scooby-Doo since 1960-something?
Yeah, he's been around since it was Old Hampshire.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's been here forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's amazing.
So, just focus on the craft of it. And don't fall for the trap that all of us do, which is social media following is so important. Engaging with fans is important. But you got into it because you love the work. So don't ever trade the love of the work for the love of the admiration for the work, because you can't control that.
Nice. Good advice.
That is really interesting.
Just to piggyback on that, I'm now almost 3 years without social media.
Oh, you are, really?
And it's the best ever.
You don't use it at all?
At all. Nothing. No Twitter, no Instagram, no TikTok, no anything. I have no social media presence, and it's wonderful. Well, I mean, you know what they're saying about me on the internet? Because I don't, and it's the best.
That's kind of cool.
Right there.
Well, but then you're focused on this, and then you don't have to. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
It's for my own mental health. I just couldn't do it anymore. I could not do it. It made me anxious every day, and I just couldn't do it anymore.
I get that. I get that feeling. I don't think people talk about that enough, honestly.
Yeah. But I love your advice. Focus on the work. At the end of the day, we're not voiceover actors. We're actors. So that's
it.
Focus on that. Brock, you're the best.
Thank you so much. This was a treat.
This is totally cool.
Yeah, and now, we love you, Brock.
And now, here's a bad segue, but where on social media can everybody find you?
Hilarious. Well, I'm at Will Friedle. Because
you know that domain's open.
excuse me.
That voice, you know, the other, I discover new voices all the time through my own anxiety. And so, Christy, you're talking about your inner critic. That voice is like, whenever my fiance's an amazing driver. I have major control issues though with road stuff, because every accident I've ever been in, someone else was driving. And so whenever I'm in the passenger seat, that's the voice of, oh, boy, uh-oh.
Oh, geez.
I don't know where it comes
from. Slow it down. Slow it down, folks.
So
take a look.
So your fiance will be driving, and then you'll just start to speak like
literally,
that.
Literally, just like that.
Great.
That's amazing.
Oh, I think that was a yield sign. Oh, geez.
I think that was a red light. Please don't run the yellow.
I get that.
We are the worst.
I get that.
We are the worst ever.
You can find me on Instagram at Brock Talks, which is my name and my occupation, which is BrockTalks. And then, because there's a really sweet little old lady who runs a podcast in Maine, my Twitter handle's different because she owns Brock Talks. Because her last name is Brock. Everyone go listen to Lindsay Brock's podcast. She's a sweet pea.
Oh, that's very sweet.
But she's holding out the Twitter account. So I'm BrockTalks on Twitter.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And then, of course, where can people see you as Lyle Fistpuncher?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can check out Hamster Gretel on Disney Channel, or also, like, check us out on Disney Plus. And we air Saturday mornings at 9:30. Check your local listings. And then I think we're dropping to Disney Plus incrementally. So just keep checking that. And trending right now on Disney Plus as we record, which is crazy.
Wow.
That's amazing.
One of the best titles, Hamster and Gretel, ever
and Gretel.
Put out there.
Brock, you made it. You made it to Saturday morning TV.
Yes. You're on Disney Channel on Saturday morning. You have done it, my friend.
Stop
you
it,
have
Kim
done
Ron,
it, my friend.
Stop it. This is
we love you.
Dear Booyah, you had a great time.
Stitch?
It was amazing. Brock made it to Disney.
Oh, you'll come back.
And now, Christy. Well, that's awesome. Christy, can you take us out by one more time telling us the title of the contest?
Make sure you join us on our podcast contest called... Go ahead, Will.
No, that's all you, Christy. Take us away.
No, you do it. Oh, God.
Come on, what do you got?
Super awesome contest to find...
Nope.
...of becoming...
Nope.
...the next book finds ever.
Ironically, folks, we are going to have to replace Christy with another actor doing it properly. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody out there, thank you so much for joining us. We love you so much. And join us because, yes, we are going to have our super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor. And if you can't say the contest, chances are you're not going to be able to win. Christy is absolutely going to be able to say the contest. Yes, you are. You know that. We'll rehearse it a little bit, and you're going to be able to do it in 9 different voices.
I'm
going to
write it down
amazing.
Next time.
Hey, for the record, I've had it written down next to me the entire time we've been doing this. So we will get to all of you out there with all of the contest rules. They're being worked out right now, but this is amazing. And you're going to get to not only be mentored by people like Brock, but one person out there is going to be able to call them colleagues, because you're going to have an opportunity to change your life. That is not hyperbole, folks. That is absolutely the truth. So, y'all, we have
break.
Had so much fun with you again. And bear with us over the next few weeks. We are lovingly going to be able to just sit here and talk to some of the most amazing people before the contest rolls out. So use this time to practice, rehearse, go do what Brock said, work on your instrument, do what you've got to do, go back and watch some of our other actors as they tell us how they get into character, how they find the character, do the Brock monster mash, because man, it seems like there are 1,000 things you're going to have to practice to win. But we are so excited. And just remember, join us once again on I Hear Voices, and keep your eyes out for all the rules for the super awesome contest to become the next big voiceover actor. And if you think you got what it takes, don't ever forget, put your voices where your mouth is. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Will Friedle and Christy Carlson Romano. Executive produced by Will Friedle, Brendan Rooney, Amy Sugarman, and Vicky Ernst Chang. Our executive in charge of production is Danielle Romo. Our producer is Lorraine Virouez, and our editor/engineer is Brian Burton. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Coco Melon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AAM, and Napster.
Okay, well, let's teach you about the internet.
The who?
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit mrsmeyers.com today.